Oh, it's such an intimate group, I thought I would spend time down here with you. I want you to look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. You know, I was thinking about this weekend and being the 4th of July weekend and everybody thinking about fireworks and hot dogs and founding of our country and having patriotic songs and John Philip Sousa music being blared all over. I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to reflect a little bit. 4th of July in America. That means a lot of things to us, doesn't it? But it's a time where we, just as Americans, we reflect on our history as a nation. We reflect on our freedoms. We reflect on the fact that we are a nation that was literally born out of oppression. And there were oppressive laws and leaders. People came from ultimately all over the world to form this nation. So while we reflect on all those things in a temporal sense with respect to America, and we tend to be very nationalistic. And this is a tension, I think, for Christians. We want the best government. We want our leaders to honor God. And we want to preserve our heritage here, and all those things are fine. But I think we can immerse ourselves too much in that, and then we lose sight of the fact that we are, first of all, not just citizens of the United States of America, but we're citizens of God's kingdom. We have a higher allegiance. And from that perspective, we are passing through. Now, we certainly enjoy freedom. We're thankful for the freedoms, especially to worship openly. But that freedom comes at a cost, because very often we find ourselves getting lazy, fat, and sassy. The early church in Jerusalem enjoyed the favor of all the people, and God blessed the early church. But they weren't doing their job. And their job was to go out and preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. That was the Great Commission. And they were safe and happy and fat and sassy in Jerusalem. So what does God do? He brings persecution. And he forces them out of Jerusalem. He forces them to go to the ends of the earth. So while we rejoice in our freedom and we thank God for America and for all the wonderful grace he's shed abroad, shed on our land, we can't forget that we're Christians and we are citizens of another kingdom, another realm. And our lives serve a much different purpose than just in this temporal sense. Now, having said all that, I want to point you out to Jesus' words in Luke's Gospel. Now, this is the beginning, basically, of Jesus' public ministry. And he opens his public ministry. He's ministering, but he goes to his hometown, Nazareth. And he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom, to worship. And the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. He was the guest reader that morning. And so the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the scroll to Isaiah chapter 61. And he reads a portion of that passage. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. But that kingdom of God was designed to set people free spiritually. To open blind eyes so people could see the truth. People could see the kingdom of God. To people could hear the truth. John records in Jesus' own words in chapter 14 of his gospel, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the centerpiece of that kingdom. And so many of us have experienced freedom, freedom from captivity. The Bible says we've been set free from the domain of darkness. God has rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but we have been rescued from that death. Jesus paid the price. Jesus conquered the strong man and he raided his house. And we're the plunder from the strong man's house. He's been anointed to set the captives free. So when we think about our worldly, earthly, temporal freedoms, our spiritual freedom is far, far more substantial, far more significant. I was thinking of the song that Alan had us singing earlier, sing a new song. Turn back in the Old Testament, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Again, we see Jesus spoken of in this passage. Read with me from verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets or shoot off fireworks. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice, and he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. That's a picture of the sovereignty of God in establishing his will. And we can have confidence in that. And he goes on, he says, this is what the Lord says, who created the heavens and stretched them out and spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. This is his servant. Not only would he come to Israel, but he would also be a light for the Gentiles. He says, to open eyes that are blind. Does that sound familiar? Right. We just read Jesus' words. Now, Jesus quoting from later on in Isaiah 61, but we see the same words here in 42. He says, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison. Have your eyes ever been blinded and he's opened your eyes? It happens all the time. It doesn't part of it happens when you get saved and the kingdom of God opens up and you go, my. You have what they call a paradigm shift. Your worldview changes and all of a sudden you're looking at things wholly differently than you ever did before. Relationships are different. God has affected you and he's affected the way you look at things. He's opened blind eyes. And he still does it, doesn't he? Amen. He still does it. Not only for people for the first time, but even those of us who've been Christians for years. He still opens blind eyes. We all still have blind spots. And he speaks to us through his word, through each other. He is still opening blind eyes. Well, not only that, He's setting captives free, people who've been imprisoned. We had some prayer tonight for some of you asked for prayer, and no doubt some of those prayers had to do with something that you were imprisoned to. Maybe some habit. Maybe something out of your past. Maybe some issue of your life that you just struggle with. You don't know what to do with. You can't get past it. Maybe some grief that's imprisoned you. He's also available to us to set us free from those prisons. He doesn't mean for us to live in the prison of doubt. He doesn't mean for us to live in the prison of the past. He doesn't mean for us to live in the prison of habits that have trapped us. He doesn't mean for us to live in the prison of sin. He means for us to be free from that. And to release from the dungeon those who sit in the darkness. Have you ever felt like you're in the dark? You don't have a clue what's going on? There's no hope? That happens for lots of us. Lots of us come into situations or things come into our life that seem like just an absolute no hope wall. Just looks dark. He sets us free from those things. We have great hope. There's liberation on this 4th of July. But you see, it's spiritual liberation we celebrate. Spiritual liberation we celebrate. The fireworks go off, the hot dogs are eaten. You go home, no doubt there are going to be people out there drinking tonight, partying. There are going to be people killed on the highways, tragically. Lots of celebrations, lots of well-meaning people. But tomorrow it's going to be all over. Not so the spiritual things that He gives us. He sets us free, and He sets us free permanently. And He continues to open our eyes. He continues to bring light where there's darkness in our hearts. I am the Lord, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place. Now, He'd already prophesied things, and those things had already taken place. He's validating Himself again. He says, and new things I declare, before they spring into being, I announce them to you. So He's calling people to live by hope, live by faith, to trust in Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the next verses, this is where I wanted to get to, and Alan led us in that song, I will sing a new song. And I want you to notice something, there's a connection here. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise from the ends of the earth. So singing new songs to Him and praising Him to the ends of the earth. Is He worthy of being praised?
Yes.
Oh, yes, He is. Absolutely. And the new songs are continuous. They're fresh ways of praising Him. You cannot exhaust His musical realm, can you? There's always new notes to be written, new words to be put to those notes, new lyrics, new songs. So God says, sing a new song. We like to hold on to the old things, but He wants us to sing new songs. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. In other words, to the ends of the earth, all over. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Think about that. Shout from the mountaintops. Praise His name. Sing His praises from one end of the earth to the other, whether you live in the deserts or at the seashore. He says, let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim His praise in the islands. Now notice verse 13. I'm wondering if there is a connection between praise and worship, rejoicing, exalting Him, and what comes next. And the Lord will what? March out like a mighty man. Like a warrior, He will stir up His zeal. With a shout, He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over His enemies. The battle is His, isn't it? I wonder if there's a connection. When we're in the dark, when we're feeling like we're in prison, when there is no hope, what is our typical response? The spirit of wah. Right? Is that not a typical response? Oh, poor me. People say, how are things going? Oh, terrible. They're not going good at all. Now, things can be going terribly. But if we obsess about them, if we continue to whine about them, rather than recognizing hardship as what? Discipline. Some of you remember. Knowing that God is doing a good thing. Then we can what? We can praise Him. We can shout His praises. We can exalt Him. We can sing a new song to Him. Why? Because in faith, we know that our deliverance draws near. What I'm suggesting is I think there's a relationship between praising God, worshiping Him, even in the midst of the darkness, by faith, knowing that He loves me and He cares about me and He's doing a great work and He will deliver me.
Amen.
He will deliver me. Question is, do we believe that? Now, sitting here, of course, we believe it. Now, how about this week? How about when we're out in the day-to-day routine? Things aren't going well. Typical response is to grumble. Typical response is, oh, bummer. Where's God now? Rather, what do you think would happen if we began to praise Him and thank Him? If we began to exalt His name in the midst of it? You say, well, people think I'm crazy. They probably would. But does it matter?
No.
No, because look. The Lord will march out like a mighty man. Like a warrior, He will stir up His zeal. He will stir up His zeal. Man, do you want a zealous God on your side?
Yeah.
Fighting for you? Do you think that maybe worship and praise and exalting His name and glorifying Him, do you think that that might cause Him to want to stir up His zeal on your behalf? I think so. With a shout, He will raise the battle cry and He will triumph over His enemies. Our enemies are His enemies. And He will triumph over those enemies. Those are first and foremost spiritual enemies, aren't they? See, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We lose sight of that too. We're fighting against sin in the flesh. We're fighting against spiritual forces of darkness. But we have the confidence, Jesus says, that what? The gates of hell will not prevail against His church. We win. We win. Did you read the last book? We know that, right? So we live hopefully. We live hopefully. We live hopefully. What darkness has you imprisoned? What have you allowed to defeat you? Let the Lord rise up. Let the Lord rise up and stir up His zeal on your behalf. Let Him set you free. Let Jesus set you free. It's almost, I know for some people, it's almost too much to believe. It's almost too much to hope that He will actually do something for me. I've been so miserable for so long, so hopeless for so long, I've asked and asked and asked. You know what? Quit asking. Start praising. Start praising. Start thanking Him. Start worshiping Him. Start exalting His name. And then watch what He does. It's 4th of July. Let's have some fireworks in here for Jesus, huh? Shall we? Al, come lead us in some fireworks for the Lord. Let's sing a new song to Him. Amen? Lord, we thank You that You are faithful. We thank You for Your word that gives us hope. Lord, we thank You that You have come to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind. Lord, we praise You and we worship You. And Lord, we proclaim release tonight. Release for the captives, Lord, as they rise up in faith and bring You glory. Lord, not looking on the circumstance, not concerned about what is not, but concerned, Lord, about what can be. And Lord, hoping and believing in You. Lord, we praise You tonight and we give You glory. Let's stand together and let's praise our God. Let's sing His praises. Let's have a 4th of July for Jesus.
Thank you.
hands that you're holding, they picture His great saving work. It's granted us eternal life. But not only eternal life, it's granted us freedom from the power of sin even today, as well as its penalty. He was anointed to set us free. As we take these elements, this bread and this juice, we proclaim His greatness. We remember Him. How we need to be reminded of His goodness to us. His joy has come. His joy has come. Lord Jesus, as we eat this bread and drink this cup, all we can say is thank You and praise You. We worship You, we adore You, and we love You. Thank You for setting us free. Thank You for giving us life and life to the full. Lord, we pray for each other. We pray a blessing on each and every one in this room, that we would all know that abundant and full life. Lord, that each day our eyes would be opened even more clearly to who You are and Your truth. And Lord, that we would experience each day more and more of that freedom. Thank You, Lord. We trust You. Our hope is truly in You. Blessed be Your name. If you trust in the Lord Jesus, if you believe in Him, I invite you to take the bread. Cup pictures His blood, of course, that was poured out for us. His blood that still cleanses us. Perfect blood. Lord, we lift these cups. We exalt Your name to Jesus. Let's continue to praise His name.
justified by the